From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Is NATO about to directly intervene in Syria? Turkish media reported late Monday that the country's military made a major deployment of tanks and military forces to its border with the country, while Turkey's president met with his national security advisors. One report in Turkish media said that Ankara was unhappy with recent progress by Syrian Kurds against ISIL. Over 220,000 people have been killed and more than 1 million injured so far in the country, while violence continues with utter impunity. That, according to Kwang Wa Kang, the UN Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator, who was updating the Security Council Monday on the humanitarian situation in that war-torn country. She said that although the violence in Syria continues, aid from the outside world has fallen off to dangerously low levels. Stephanie Kutrix reports from the United Nations.
Members of the Security Council heard on Monday how the situation has deteriorated significantly in the past week in Ain al-Arab, known in Kurdish as Kobani, following attacks to reclaim the city by the terrorist group ISIL. Kyung Wa Kang explained that despite the extremely challenging environment, humanitarian organizations continue to reach millions of people in need.
Aid agencies are working hard to assist the millions of Syrians affected by this conflict. But these efforts require adequate resources. Only a quarter of the appeal for life-saving work in Syria and the region is funded today. Food assistance across the region is now in jeopardy. Since January, WFP has had to reduce its food provisions by 30%, and more cuts are anticipated in the next 3 months due to serious funding shortfalls.
Ms. Kang said that it's hard to see an end to what she described as this nightmare of violence and destruction. She called on the UN Security Council to press for a political solution. Stephanie Kutrix, United Nations.
The UN Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator thanked some of Syria's neighbors for taking on refugees from the fighting.
Turkey, Jordan, and Lebanon continue to bear the lion's share of the ever-growing burden of caring for those who flee Syria. Turkey, for example, is already hosting 1.8 million refugees and took in at least 23,000 of those fleeing Tal Abyad in mid-June. I thank these neighboring countries and echo the recent comment by the High Commissioner for Refugees, Mr. Antonio Guterres. The rest of the world needs to step up to do substantively more to address the consequences of this conflict.
But Syria's permanent representative to the UN, Bashar Ja'afari, said the report fails to acknowledge the role of these countries in supporting the terrorists whose actions created the crisis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we cannot talk of ending the suffering and pain of Syrians and about ending the humanitarian crisis in Syria in light of a silence against vis-à-vis the continuation of Turkey and Jordan to use their territory as a base and conduit for foreign terrorists and mercenaries. We cannot end the humanitarian crisis while the regimes in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others still prefer to generously support terrorism and calling it a revolution, instead of funding the humanitarian response plan, whose funding have not yet exceeded 25%. How can we improve the humanitarian situation in the country in light of the fact that the CIA spends $1 billion annually, and this is according to the Washington Post, spends $1 billion annually on training terrorists in camps in Jordan, Qatar, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, as well as some European states, so as to form an army of 10,000 so-called moderate terrorists? This has not been included in the report of Mr. O'Brien, and it would never be part of the report.
Earlier Monday, Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, at a press conference in Moscow that was held after talks with his Syrian counterpart, said the continuing demands for regime change in Syria play into the hands of terrorists.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to welcome a delegation from Syria in Moscow, headed by Foreign Minister. Today in the morning we had substantive negotiations and we've just returned from the Kremlin where he was met by President Putin. On the top of the agenda was the need to step up efforts to overcome the Syrian crisis. And as Vladimir Putin said, based on an objective analysis of the situation, based on multiple contacts so with the region's countries and with the Syrian neighbors, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, we can make a conclusion that all the stakeholders inside the region and outside the region are concerned about the terrorist activities of the Islamic State and other terrorist groups that preach violent extremism. We are convinced, and President Putin have urged this, every country in the region must put aside all the differences that will always be there on some of the issues and join efforts to fight a common threat, the threat of terrorism. If this could be done, then we could have made the next step, which is very important in terms of political consensus, following a statement that was taken by the G8 in June, when in Northern Ireland, the summit of G8 urged the Syrian opposition and the Syrian government to combine efforts to oust terrorists of the country. This goal is still on the top of our agenda, but given the scale of the activities of ISIS and its associates and affiliates, it's not just enough to have the resources of the Syrians. That's why we urge every country in the region to coordinate their activities in the fight against this threat.
Безусловно, это отнюдь не означает, что мы откладываем в сторону другие задачи, которые были закреплены в Женевском коммюнике от 30 июня 2013 года,
в том числе и, наверное,
первым образом, в первую очередь, задачу налаживания политического диалога, который был бы ведом самими сирийцами и который был бы нацелен на достижение договоренности, отражающих общее согласие между всеми сирийскими.
An inclusive consensus.
Россия последние, наверное, год,
over the past 2 years, Russia has always called for the Geneva Communique to be implemented in full upon our initiative. The Security Council of the UN adopted this resolution, but not immediately, because our Western partners were reluctant to do so.
Впоследствии мы старались внести вклад в подготовку почвы для возобновления переговорного процесса.
Later, we tried to lay the foundation for the resumption of negotiations. That would ensure the rights of all the conventional and other groups. These efforts by Russia were coordinated with other countries like Egypt that also wants to contribute to creating conditions for the resumption of official dialogue on the Syrian resolution. The outcome of two meetings in Moscow were registered as a set of principles, and we'd like to continue our work on it. We'd like to continue to help Syrians so that they make these principles more specific. To assist the Syrians in this process, to lay a solid foundation for the resumption of negotiations, we are ready to consider another third consultative meeting in Moscow. We discussed this with Foreign Minister of Syria today. This should help the special envoy of the UN Secretary General, Mr. Stephanie de Mistura. He is in charge of the Syrian crisis. He is now holding intensive negotiations. This will help to lay the foundation for a negotiations process, and it must be an inclusive process.
Прочной основой этих усилий
является solid foundation for these efforts is the Geneva communique.
Хотя ясно уже сегодня,
but it's clear today that given the unprecedented growth of the terrorist threat, this issue must be given additional attention, and we expect that Stephan de Mistura will do this. Again, I'd like to underline that the goal of the international community and Syria's neighbors, the EU, Russia, the United States, the UN, is not to try to impose something on Syrians, but rather to provide conditions for an inclusive dialogue so that the Syrians could come to a consensus. We also discussed bilateral ties, including the implementation of the agreements we reached at the Intergovernmental Commission. President Putin reaffirmed that Russia would continue to support the Syrian nation and the Syrian government in its efforts to resolve social and economic issues amid a serious crisis that Syria is facing. And certainly Russia would support Syria's efforts to bolster its defense against a terrorist threat. We are satisfied with the sincere and friendly nature of our discussions, and we will continue to support the Syrian nation in these different difficult times. Thank you.
At an earlier meeting with the Syrian foreign minister, Russia's President Vladimir Putin said his country's policy of giving support to the Syrian leadership and people remains unchanged, adding that the turmoil in Syria is, quote, linked first and foremost to aggression by the forces of international terrorism, closed quote. At the Moscow press conference, Syria's foreign minister, Walid Mualem, said the U.S. makes no secret of its support for terrorists fighting in his country, accusing Washington of allocating $1 billion, as reported in the Washington Post, to support the terrorists fighting there.
I'd like to thank my counterpart and friend Sergei Lavrov for the invitation to come here to Moscow with our delegation to have another round of negotiations and political consultations. I'd like to thank President Putin especially for inviting us to the Kremlin and an opportunity to discuss the situation in Syria and the region. I've listened attentively to the speech of President Putin and on what he said on the need to set up a coalition in the region to fight terrorism. I am well aware that President Putin and Russia and his guidance has achieved wonders, but in order to build a coalition with Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar and the US, we need even a bigger wonder, because instead of fighting terrorism, these countries support terrorism in Syria. They provide arms and these terrorists spill the blood of the Syrian people. Nevertheless, we do have a lot of positive experience, and I'd like to reiterate what we did with the chemical weapons that happened on the initiative of President Putin. I'm happy to come here today. I got confirmation that Russia would continue to support Syria militarily, economically, and politically. Before that, we had detailed and positive negotiations with Minister Lavrov and the two delegations. We discussed the situation in Syria and the region. And the negotiations were focused on ways to find a political resolution to the crisis. We appreciate Russia's efforts for holding two consultations previously. We expect that there will be a third one, and this is the best way to achieve success.
And
on behalf of Sergei Lavrov, I urge Mr. Demistura to take part in the third Moscow meeting. Thank you.
The two foreign ministers took questions from the press.
And now questions, please. Almaydin, please. Good afternoon. I have a question to both ministers. Amid a growing threat of ISIS in the region, especially in Syria, we see there are growing contacts, including at the meeting in the Kremlin and here today. Mr. Lavrov, you mentioned this, but I'd like to get a bigger picture.
Are we entering
a new phase of the settlement in the Syria crisis, especially given the fact that there might be contacts between the Syrian government and regional powers like Turkey and Saudi Arabia? Well, you said entering a new phase or a new stage. Let historians use these words. We are focused on practical diplomacy and politics, and it just requires urgency. It means we need to put aside all the other issues that have nothing to do with terrorism and focus our concerted efforts on fighting ISIS, Jabhat al-Nusra, and other similar groups. For that, we have more objective reasons, because the scale of this threat is now obvious to the countries of the regions, all of them, and beyond. ISIS has a spillover effect to Afghanistan and is now considering to expand into Central Asia. And also some of the terrorist acts in Europe have a link to ISIS, obviously. So we need to fight terrorism and put aside all of our geopolitical discrepancies. It's hard to have a dialogue between the states on disputed issues when countries might be seized by terrorists and might be turned into a caliphate. That was the goal proclaimed by ISIS and is shared by many extremist groups from Pakistan to Nigeria. So we'll talk about a new stage later. And just now we want to continue our efforts that we've been taking, and we'll continue to do that on
формированию согласия.
Building a,
может быть, это и не будет коалиция.
Maybe it won't become a coalition in the classical sense of this word, but we need to coordinate our activities.
Наш народ более пяти лет страдает от заговора.
Our nation has been suffering from a conspiracy of our neighbors for 5 years, so we have paid a huge price. The death toll is very high, and so we can only achieve success if the countries that finance terrorism will be sincere in their aspirations and will stop this support. The SAN news agency, Syrian television, a question to Sergey Lavrov.
В рамках усилий политических усилий России по политическому
регулированию становится ясно, что без проведения третьей московской встречи эффективность
Женевской встречи.
Каковы могут быть практические шаги на этом направлении, особенно с учетом того, что мы видим в последнее время, я имею в виду резкий рост террористической активности на юге Сирии, которая обусловлена в том числе поддержкой финансовой и материальной
оружия поддержки
стран СССР. Знаете, я бы не стал так категорично формулировать.
Use such harsh terms. You say that the third Moscow meeting, the success of the Geneva III meeting will not be successful. I would not use this language. We just need to learn the lessons of the failure of Geneva II. It was predetermined by what our foreign counterparts did. They pinned all their hopes on the Syrian National Coalition, and they said it's the only legal, legitimate representative of the Syrian nation. And our Western counterparts ignored a lot of groups that promoted patriotic positions and sought a political settlement. So we need to fix this mistake, and I think that we're getting close to it. In Cairo and twice in Moscow,
and
the Syrian opposition is now coming together,
and the
positive aspect about the Moscow II consultation was that there was a document that was agreed by all of the factions. They seek to preserve the state of Syria, to ensure the rights of all the groups that have been living in Syria for centuries and even thousands of years. Maybe it's not specific,
and
they need to provide more details to this document, just as my colleague said, and we want to contribute to that. But it's only Syrians who can do it. But of course, we want to engage other opposition groups that did not come to Moscow. We want them to be working on the document. And so we coordinate our efforts with Egypt, hoping that eventually all of the spectrum of the opposition groups will be present at the negotiations based on the Geneva Communique. And the goal of the Geneva Communique is to provide conditions for a consensus between the Syrians so that they could define their future for themselves. As for the outside stakeholders, they must refrain from any actions that are not conducive to creating these conditions that would be preventing Syria from resolving this crisis. All of the talks of the regime change are not in line with the Geneva Communique, and they play into the hands of the extremists. We'd like to avoid that. What we currently see is that the assessments in the West are changing. Maybe there's still some inertia, but that's bound to change. And also through today's negotiations, we want to send a signal to all the foreign stakeholders. And that is the threat that's facing us, the threat of terrorism that goes beyond any geopolitical considerations. I would like to underline once again, it's not just an impromptu statement. It's our consistent position ever since the start of the Arab Spring. In all of our contacts, we say that we should not overlook the threat of extremism, violent extremism. We believe it's very dangerous to flirt with extremism and radicals for short-term political considerations. There have been many cases in history when this flirting then had a falling out and had a boomerang effect. I'd like to remind you that last week this issue was discussed between President Putin and Barack Obama, the U.S. president. He pointed out that Russia and U.S. and all other nations have a stake in preventing ISIS from implementing their plan. And President of Russia and the U.S. President have instructed John Kerry and myself to hold an immediate discussion to exchange opinions on how we could enhance our cooperation and joint efforts. And after our negotiations, based on the outcome, our delegation will go to Vienna, the capital of Austria, and we'll have negotiations with John Kerry. So we will keep you up to date on the outcome of the negotiations. I would like to add to what Sergei Lavrov just said.
So I'd like
to ask a question. How many more people should die in Kuwait, Tunisia, France, Saudi Arabia, so that the countries that support terrorism in Syria wake up and realize that their actions are dangerous and erroneous? We told these countries that their policy in Syria would backfire. We told them early on. And so how many people should die so that they realize that they're making a mistake? I very much hope that John Kerry will reply to my question. Mr. Walid, I'll tell you as a friend, we will discuss we'll talk not just in rhetorical questions, but we'll talk in practical terms. But, of course, later on, once we prevail over terrorism, we'll use rhetorical questions. I'd like to thank all of you. Thank you.
And we'll have more news tomorrow. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.